8, and we'll begin reading at verse 1, and we'll read the entire chapter. Proverbs 8 and verse 1, it says, "Doth not wisdom cry, understanding put forth her voice? She standeth in the top of high places, by the way in the places of the paths. She crieth at the gates, at the entry of the city, at the coming in at the doors. Unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of man. O ye simple, understand wisdom, and ye fools, be ye of an understanding heart. Hear, for I will speak of excellent things, and the opening of my lips shall be right things. For my mouth shall speak truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are in righteousness, there is nothing froward or perverse in them. They are all plain to him that understandeth, and right to them that find knowledge. Receive my instruction and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold, for wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence, and find out knowledge of witty inventions. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogancy and the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate. Counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding, I have strength. By me kings reign, and princes decree justice. By me princes rule, and nobles even all the judges of the earth. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. Riches and honor are with me, yea, durable riches and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, yea, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. I lead in the way of righteousness in the midst of the paths of judgment, that I may cause those that love me to inherit substance, and I will fill their treasures. The Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way, before his works of old. I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning or ever the earth was. When there were no depths, I was brought forth, when there were no fountains abounding with water. Before the mountains were settled, before the hills was I brought forth, while as yet he had not made the earth, nor the fields, nor the highest part of the dust of the world. When he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he set a compass upon the face of the depth, when he established the clouds above, when he strengthened the fountains of the deep, when he gave to the sea his decree that the waters should not pass his commandment, when he appointed the foundations of the earth, then I was by him as one brought up with him, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him, rejoicing in the habitable part of the earth, of his earth, and my delight were with the sons of men. Now therefore, hearken unto me, O ye children, for blessed are they that keep my ways. Hear instruction, and be wise, and refuse it not. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. For whoso findeth me, findeth life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord. But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. All they that hate me love death." Let's pray. Dearly Father, we just ask your blessing upon these scriptures as we look into them this evening. Help us to understand these truths of your wisdom, that we would find it, that we might seek after it, that we would be blessed of you in our lives. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. And in this passage and in other different passages, we even see in chapter 9 as well, it essentially speaks of wisdom, that wisdom is almost personified as a person. And we see here that it's personified as a woman. And initially we might think, well, that's a little odd, because we think, well, wisdom is found, no, not, that's, yeah, maybe that didn't come out right, but what it is that you think, well, because wisdom is found in God and in Christ, that you would think, well, it would be he, it would not be she. But we find that in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, that it speaks that in Christ we find that he is our wisdom. That we find in him. But I think the reason, probably the principal reason why it's given that, is to kind of provide a contrast from the strange woman who calls out to the simple for their destruction. We see that in Proverbs chapter 7 and verse 4. It says, "Say unto wisdom, thou art my sister, and call understanding thy kinswoman, that they may keep thee from the strange woman, from the stranger with flattereth with her words." And as you go through Proverbs, there's lots of different passages speaking of this strange woman that seeks to entice the simple away, tries to entice them to pursue after her, but it's not for their good, it's to their destruction. Whereas the contrast is wisdom is crying to those same simple ones and say, well, don't follow after her. You need to follow after me, that I'm going to be a help to you. I will help give you deliverance from destruction. I'm going to help you to find success and fruitfulness in our lives. And so we can think of it that way. And certainly we understand in God and Christ there is wisdom, but we understand, I think that's, as I see it, is part of the reasoning for that in the Scriptures. And so we ask ourselves, what is wisdom? How do we define it? How do we put it and give a sense of what it is? We see different synonyms that are placed here where it says things like understanding and knowledge and instruction and prudence. Different things where it's the idea of guidance, of knowing what to do and what to think. And I think that when we think of the word wisdom, naturally our minds go to someone that we look at as being older than us, someone that has experience, someone that has seen many things, that they can give us wisdom. At least it may just be a wisdom of what not to do, but it's still, at least it is wisdom that we can gain from, guidance in that way. We also think of philosophers. Philosopher actually means a lover of wisdom. And through history, there's been many different philosophers. We think of Socrates and Plato and Aristotle back in ancient Greece, that they were considered great thinkers, that they spent their whole life seeking after wisdom and were considered to be very wise. But yet we think even with them that there was a limit to their knowledge and to their wisdom, that of those three that are considered kind of the greatest three minds of their time and perhaps of all time in some respects, we certainly don't see that they had any belief in the true God or anything like that. And we actually see in Athens, when Paul came to Athens in Acts chapter 17, that he encountered some of these philosophers who essentially would have been from some of the different schools that had been started by Plato and all Aristotle and some of these others. This is in Acts 17, verse 18. It says, "And certain philosophers of the Epicureans and of the Stoics encountered him, and some said, 'What will this babbler say?' Others, some, 'He seemeth to be a setter forth of strange gods, because he preached unto them Jesus and the resurrection.' And they took him and brought him unto Areopagus, saying, 'May we know what this new doctrine whereof thou speakest is? For thou bringest certain strange things to our ears. We would know, therefore, what these things mean. For all the Athenians and strangers which were there spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear some new thing." And so we see in this that Paul gives a great message where he speaks about the unknown God, "whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you," that he made it very plain unto them. But it's sad that as they heard that, even though he was giving them the truth, he was giving them true knowledge of God and of his Son Jesus Christ and of salvation, that a lot of them made fun of it. And Law says, well, we'll hear it again, but it was just kind of, they just wanted to hear it because it was new. They weren't actually wanting to accept any of it, and it was more something, well, they could hear it, and then someone else could come along and try to debate it, and it was never, they were never really gaining anything from that. And we find that Paul spoke in 2 Timothy 3, verse 7, the idea that there are many that are ever learning but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. And that would be the case with these philosophers and many of these lovers, philosophers, lovers of wisdom that have existed throughout history, that if there's nothing in seeking after God, then it's not really true wisdom. And we recognize that the wisdom of man is limited at best, and at worst it sometimes finds itself in complete opposition to God. And we see this in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 17, Paul says, "For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, and not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. That we see in that that the world by wisdom knew not God. It's the sense that the wisdom of man was actually a barrier to them in coming to accept the truth, that they looked at the preaching of the cross as being complete foolishness. And we see verse 22, for the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. And so we see that the world looks at it as foolishness according to the wisdom of man, that all of the basis of Christianity seems to them to be of no value. But yet we realize it is the power of God, that there is so much contained within it. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 4, we see with Paul that he said that my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. And through all of this we see that verse 6, it continues, howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that comes to naught, that comes to nothing, that the wisdom that this world has, it is unprofitable. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of the world, this world knew, for had they known it, they would have not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Then we see that there is man's wisdom, but we find that it comes to nothing, that it is not of any real value, that it is the wisdom of man is foolishness with God. And what man looks at as being foolishness with God, that it overpowers the wisest things of humanity. And so we recognize from this that true wisdom is found in God alone. And he is the one that he wants to share it with us. And the sad thing is that men so often pursue after man's wisdom and so much of, again, that ever learning but never coming to the knowledge of the truth, that they want to seek knowledge of different things, but it never profits them. But we find that true wisdom is found in God alone. Proverbs 21 and verse 30. It says, there is no wisdom, nor understanding, nor counsel against the Lord. That anything that stands against what the Lord declares, what the Lord proclaims to be truth, to be the proper way and proper thinking, that if it's in contrary to that, however how eloquently it might be explained, it still is foolishness. That it cannot, true wisdom cannot be contradictory to the Lord. And so when we understand true wisdom, we see that as we pursue after wisdom, that we must necessarily pursue after God. We must seek to know his nature, his ways, his perspective, and his thinking. We looked at it last week, the idea that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. That's where we must begin with the Lord. That we have to see things from his perspective, that we honor him, we reverence him, by our very lives. That we understand from the verse in Galatians where it says, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. He that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." That we realize God is never mocked, that there are always consequences to our actions, that we have decisions to make, and these paths that we choose, that if we go down a certain path, there's going to be consequences. If it's the way that God directs, we know that we can be blessed by it. If it's contrary to His Word, contrary to what He directs, we know that it will not be in our best interest. And that is what we're to do as Christians, is we're to seek what is best. It speaks in Philippians that we're to approve those things that are excellent. And that we, sometimes we make a choice and it's kind of the thought, well, it's not as bad as this choice I could make, sort of thing, but where instead we want to make sure, is this the absolute best choice that I make? Sometimes that's the challenge is it's our decisions are not necessarily between good and bad. It is often between what is good and what is best. And so we want to be wise in that. We want to seek His ways and not our ways. We want to get His understanding and not lean upon our own. And reminded again of something written on a plaque that my mom had in the kitchen, and it says, "God always gives His best to those that leave the choice to Him." And that's what we want to realize, that as we seek after wisdom and we seek after God, that it isn't kind of, "Well, Lord, I want to do this and I want You to bless it," that we get to thinking, "Well, no, Lord, I want to do what You want me to do. I want to seek Your blessing upon my life, so what do You want me to do?" That we approach it in that way. And we understand as well, when we pursue wisdom, we don't pursue it just for wisdom's sake, just so that we can impress others. And you think of it, some of the philosophers through history, that was kind of the thing, their ability to be great orators and be able to debate and argue on different things. It says in 1 Corinthians 8, verse 1, that we all have knowledge, that knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifieth. And we don't pursue after wisdom so that we can be puffed up, because really if we're going to do that, it's to our detriment as well, because God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. By pursuing that for that reason, actually it doesn't show wisdom, it shows our foolishness. And so it's the idea instead that we pursue wisdom so that we might know it, so we can put it into practice, so that it can guide our decisions. That we're trying to find the path that the Lord wants us to go down, and we humbly submit to it. Even though it may not be the easiest way of going, there may be some struggles with it, but we go through it with kind of a faith and assurance that, well, the Lord's going to take care of the details, and I'm going to go down this path, because this is what His Word directs me to do, and so I have to follow it with the assurance that we will be blessed. It may not be right away, but it will be in the future. And so we do these things, and we seek after wisdom for our own sake and for the sake of others. I think all of us have had times we can look back and think back that we've had a decision to make, and we've made a bad decision. And we suffered the consequences for it, and we would say, well, if we had the opportunity, we would go back and take the other path, because that didn't end up the way that we hoped. And it's a thought in that we don't want to keep doing that. We want to learn so that it isn't, because we can't go back in time, we can't turn back the clock to fix our mistakes, but if we can have a wisdom so that we make the right decision, it's so much better. Because I think all of us as well have remembered times where we made a really good decision and we didn't even realize the significance of it at the time, we kind of thought, well, this seems like the right thing to do, and we did it, and we're like, wow, this was such a great thing that happened, that I'm so glad I made that decision, that it made such a difference. I know the different times with Malia and I that we had, it ended up just after we were married that the company I was working for, they didn't have any work in the area, but they were going to give us work. They had a job out on the Sunshine Coast, and we thought, well, maybe we should go along, and I know my family wasn't too happy about it because Alicia was just about to be born, and we were like 10 hours away, and we're going to move another 8 away, and even in the church, it was some that people were kind of thought it wasn't the best thing, but we felt it was the right thing to do, and we look back at that it was just such a good decision, just for different things that it allowed us as a couple to become stronger. We got under a pastor that kind of was a little different, but kind of challenged us in a few different things that we needed to, and it actually ended up we were closer to Malia's folks for a while, and so that helped her, and of course her dad passed away quite quickly, a couple of years after that, unexpectedly, and so we were thankful looking back that we'd gone and spent that time. But it was one of those things where we took the step and we didn't know where it was going to lead or why, but we just felt, well, this is what the Lord seems to be directing. And we were just thankful for that. But with anything in our life, that we don't want our lives to be kind of hit and miss, where we're sort of stumbling blindly, we're kind of relying on dumb luck more than anything. Well, sometimes we get it right, sometimes we get it wrong, and we suffer a lot of consequences that are bad, but then we sometimes get lucky and do something right. We want to have a life where we're focused, but we're learning as we go. We're learning from our mistakes, and we're choosing the right path on a consistent basis. I think a lot of life is learning to see when there's going to be trouble down a certain path and avoiding it going the other way, rather than basically getting up to our necks in trouble and then having to try to stick handle our way out of it. That it's and we see that principle in Proverbs where it says, "The prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished." That we want to do that, that we avoid getting into things that, because that's sometimes what happens. If we just have some sense, we realize that if we don't go to a certain place, especially if there's some that we struggle with in terms of temptation, if we stay away from it, we usually will have a better chance of staying out of it. We think of even in Proverbs where it speaks of the simple that fell prey to the strange woman, that it talks of the one that he came near her house, that basically he was seeing how close he could get to her without actually sort of falling into trouble. And so often that's what we do, is we try to play chicken with things in life, kind of see how close I can get to trouble without actually falling in. And it's a very foolish and a dangerous thing to do. And we want to recognize that the devil is out there. He's walking about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. That he wants to have us get in a place where we aren't where we should be, so that he can make a real mess of our life. And so often that's what happens, especially with young people, that they can make one bad decision, and it can affect them for the rest of their life, whether it's getting the wrong crowd or compromising in a certain way, that they wake up the next morning just full of regret of what they've done, and it can't be changed, and they have to live with it. So we want to recognize that. We want to seek after wisdom for our own sake. And we see in that passage that we read where it says, "Blessed is the man that heareth me." This is chapter 8 and verse 34. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my door. That we think of this side, that he's hearing wisdom, he's watching, waiting for it. It's kind of like he's waiting for, like if we think of wisdom personified as a woman, that he's kind of just staying at the door waiting for her to come out in the morning so he can be with her, so he can talk with her and learn from her. And so we think, well, what is this impression kind of give? It's the idea that the person's desirous, that they have a love and a delight of wisdom. They want to take heed. And actually we think that we could see that there's a dependence upon it, that he's going to wait there until wisdom comes out, that he knows that he needs it, he's not going to leave until he get it. And that's the desire that we should have for ourselves, that we're truly seeking after wisdom, that we're not just asking God to rubber stamp the plan that we've worked on out on our own, but before we even take a step, we make certain that we know this is the path that he wants us to take. Any decision that we make, that we kind of step back and remove just any thought, well, this is what I really want to do. Instead, we say, okay, well, Lord, before I lean any way pro or con, I want you to lay it out for me. What is the right thing to do? What perspective do I need to have in this so that I can make the right decision? And it says, verse 35, for whoso findeth me findeth life and shall obtain favor of the Lord. That Proverbs 14:12, it says, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof is the way of death. And so often that can happen, that we lean to our own understanding, that we think we have it figured out. We can remember perhaps different times when we've done that. We think we've got it figured, and then we make a decision, and then sometimes even within hours we realize, boy, that was the wrong thing to do. And so we don't want to follow the way that seems right unto us. We want to find the way of wisdom. We want to seek after it and not stop until we find it. Because so often there are things that we just don't consider until it's too late. And so if we follow God's direction, if we follow His principles, we can be assured that it'll work out every time for the best. That God gives us principles, we think of in Proverbs and other places, just principles for living, principles for how to conduct ourselves, principles of work and conversation and other things that we can be certain that if we follow these things, that we'll be blessed. Even principles of raising children, that we ask, well, what am I going to do with these kids that are driving me nuts? That if we look at the scriptures, we're faithful in what the scriptures say, that can help us to stay on the right path. And we think even, it speaks 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13, about temptation, that always the Lord doesn't tempt us above what we're able, but He always gives us a way of escape that we might be able to bear it. That we think that we're in temptation, the devil wants to use that to destroy us, to bring harm to us, to make the wrong choice. But the Lord always has a right choice, a way out of that. And we need to look for it. And that's sometimes a sad thing, is that the Lord has the way there, but we don't even bother to look for it. We just kind of we let it kind of overtake us, and then we feel bad, but then it comes, same kind of temptation comes the next day, and we let it take us again, and we need to learn that there is a way of escape. There is this way of wisdom, this path of life that He wants us to follow after. And even though things can be dark, even though things can be struggled, that just by faith we look and we say, Lord, there's got to be a way out of this, so I'm not going to displease you. I need your grace. I need your wisdom in this. And so often that He can provide that if we're looking for it and if we're asking for it. And we see as well that whoso findeth me findeth life and shall obtain favor of the Lord. That we think that God is the great King, King over all the earth. He's our Creator. That He's certainly someone that we want to be on his good side. We know that he's not a respecter of persons or anything like that. It isn't something that we obey him so that he'll bless us. We obey him and he blesses us. That it's that we do things not just to get from him, but because of who he is, that we honor him and we know that he honors those that honor him. And so we want to earn the favor of the Lord. We want to be blessed of him, to obtain that favor. It's just kind of the thought that if you do someone for someone else that they really appreciate, that they say, I owe you one, I owe you a favor, because what you do, and it's not something that you do something to get a favor for a person, but it's kind of nice to know when you've done something like that, that if you get into a hard time, that you can call up that person and say, well, I need a favor, and they come through for you. And that's kind of the way it is with God, that when we do something for him, he's blessed by it, he's honored by it, and then when we're in a time of trouble, we see that so many things, often that'll be that if we minister to someone that's in need, that when we're in need, that the Lord brings someone into our life that ministers to us, and it can be a blessing in that way. And so we want to obtain the favor of the Lord as we seek after wisdom. But we see verse 36, kind of the negative side. But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. All they that hate me love death. And when we sin against wisdom, when God shows this is the way, walk ye in it, and we say, well, that could be true, but I think I'll figure it out on my own. I can handle it. If I do that, then I might miss out on something else, and so I'm going to do my own thing, and I just sort of want you to kind of make it so it doesn't go too bad for me, sort of thing. Just let it work out the way I want. And if we do that, we go our own way. We grieve the Lord, and we sadden him, and I think it saddens those who love us because they want what's best for us as well. But the one that we hurt the most is ourselves. That when we say, no, Lord, I'm going to do it my way, and I'm just going to follow this because this is what I want, and I don't really care to follow what you are directing me to do, that we're hurting ourselves the most. And we recognize with any decision we make, the phrase has been said that it is our life to live. And we do have a responsibility to make decisions for our life, but it is the life God has given us. And we're accountable to him for how we live it. And you think of it, just kind of the great opportunity he has given our life just from our birth of what he desires to do. That there's a verse, I believe it's in Jeremiah, where he says, I know the thoughts I think of you, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. He wants us to end up good. He wants us to have a life that pleases him, a life that's fruitful. And he's trying to teach us his wisdom so that we'll find that path that brings fruit, that brings blessing. And as we've seen with all of this study, as we have gone through it and as we continue through it, of blessed is the man, we recognize God wants to bless us, but for that to happen, we have to be in a position where he can bless us. And he lays it out, principles of his wisdom, and if we seek him, if we seek his ways not for our own sake, we don't seek after wisdom for its own sake, but for our own sake, for our well-being, for our own help, so then we can experience and enjoy the blessings of God. And it's a thought with all of this as we've gone through it, and I want to just to leave you with tonight, is that often what happens, I think it's just human nature, and we have to watch it, is that a lot of times that we want the blessings of God, but we don't really seek after Him. And that's the whole idea of wisdom, that we're, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, that we want Him kind of to direct us to help us stay out of trouble. But usually what happens is that we have a big problem and we seek His wisdom. He helps us get out of it. But then we go do our own thing and we get in a big mess again, and then we have come to Him and He sorts it out again. And the thing is that if we're seeking after Him, He's going to give us everything that we need. If we're trying to seek the blessing without the blesser, we can't expect Him to bless us as He desires. That if we pursue after Him, that we desire Him, then that's where the true blessing comes. That we're just wanting to get kind of bottles of water from the spring of life, where instead if we go right to the spring, we can have as much as we want, as abundantly as we need. And so I think that's more than anything what we need to do as believers, that if we want to be blessed, we know that the Lord wants to bless us, but we want to honor Him and seek after Him, not just so that we can receive the blessing, but because of who He is. And if we pursue after Him, that we know that we will be blessed, that it's just a necessary byproduct of seeking after Him. And the more we do that, the greater the blessings can be. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank You once again for Your word. We just pray You would help us to seek after You, that we could be blessed by You. We ask You would help us that we would look at Your word not as just kind of an instruction manual to keep us out of trouble, but a love letter from You, that You've given us these things because You love us, because You want to help us, and You want to have a relationship with us, Lord. And we just pray You would help us to seek after that relationship, Lord, and not allow the blessings You give us to cause us to forget about the One who gave them. Just help us that we would seek after You and be blessed as a result. We ask this in Your name. Amen. So let's turn to one more hymn, number 176. And we'll sing "Break Thou the Bread of Life," number 176.